Father, we are here this morning because we love you, and I sincerely believe that Wister is wanting to love you with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength, and he's an example to me. I thank you for putting him in my life, bringing him to this community of people so that he can share. Be with him today. Lift him up. Bless the words that he says. Bless he and his family. We pray through Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Like Scott said, Jay is away this Sunday preaching in Ohio, I believe. And the church there has been interested in starting up a Celebrate Recovery ministry. And he was asked to come and speak to the congregation about Celebrate Recovery, for which Jay has been a part of here for over 5 years. And so I have been asked to speak a little about our CR ministry and the importance that it plays in our community, but also in our congregation. All the way back in the fall of 2014, some of our members decided that this ministry could benefit our community and our congregation. They realized that this was not just for people who didn't have a relationship with Christ, but it was for those who desired a deeper knowledge of how God intended for us to live. This ministry, through the divine power of God, could be a light to those trapped in the dark pains and struggles of this world. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness seen a great light." On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. This ministry, through the divine power of God, was also teaching them the importance of meeting together, worshiping, confession, repentance, encouraging one another, and serving each other. These members were seeking God and experiencing on a deeper level their relationship with Christ and his love for them, and learning to love all people the way God intended. These members were living out Jeremiah 29:13. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And who were these members? You probably remember Mr. Jackie Gass, who headed it up, who's no longer with us, but he is still here in spirit. Helen Basden, John Sidor, and Beth Robichaud, who are all with us still. They worked diligently to properly prepare themselves to be effective CR leaders. And that is just what they did. On January 5th, 2015, South Strand Celebrate Recovery at the Grand Strand Church of Christ held its first meeting with many members of the church, helping and volunteering their time and numerous other people around the community seeking to find solace and healing from the great physician. And over the years, these core group of leaders have been faithfully seeking God in their lives while they continue to share their hope with others that is found in Jesus Christ alone. And God has continued to raise up new leaders as people come and go. Today we are blessed with faithful servants who share the burden of this ministry's workload. Every person who walks through the doors of CR plays a part in God's plan of redemption. God is working in and through every person to build up his kingdom and build up his children in order that they may raise up and glorify the name of Jesus to a world desperately needing to hear of his saving grace. On any given week, we have around 40 to 80 people show up on Monday nights. We have people who come to sing cook, clean, and do so much more. We have been blessed and continue to be blessed by so many people who serve the Lord through this ministry. The leaders at CR are so grateful for every person who has served this ministry over the years. The prayers, service, money, and fellowship you have provided have been a blessing to so many. With heartfelt thanks, we pray that God will continue to bless you. That you may continue to be a blessing to others. In our early years, this ministry required a great deal of financial resources as well. Our budget at one time was well over $10,000 a year. It took a lot to get this ministry up and running. But over the years, we have learned what is needed in this ministry and what is not. God has taught us the importance of managing money, but more importantly, He has taught so many of us the blessing of giving our time and our resources to this ministry. In 2018, we took in through dinner tickets, weekly offerings, and outside donations, almost $2,000 more than we spent on the ministry. A testimony to God's faithfulness to this ministry. But I would be amiss if I did not mention the importance of our church leaders supporting this ministry from the very beginning. Their support and encouragement and presence in this ministry have fueled our desire as leaders to not grow weary in doing good. Jay has been such a blessing to our Celebrate Recovery ministry, and he has been one of my examples of how to follow Christ. Mr. Waltman and Mr. Barton also make up my trio of mentors that show me what a true follower of Christ should look like. Each one is very unique, but they all display for me a genuine love of Jesus Christ that overflows out of them and their words of kindness, truthfulness, and encouragement to me. Their love for people is just as evident and is a direct reflection of their love for Jesus Christ. But these aren't the only ways that they teach me. They teach me how to live a life of confession and repentance and being vulnerable and willing to share my struggles and temptations and sins, because they do these very things in my presence. They don't just teach me through their holiness. They teach me through their brokenness and their desperate need of God after all these years of walking faithfully with Him. As I do life with them on Sunday mornings, Wednesday night Bible studies, Monday night Celebrate Recovery meetings, and fellowship events throughout the year, I continue to see God in a new and fresh way. I continue to understand that this life is filled with hardships, temptations, and struggles, but it is also filled with love and goodness and peace and joy. And the only way to live in all of these moments is by being totally dependent upon God. When my life is filled with immense joy and peace, I'm learning to lean into God and praise Him for His blessings and His goodness and mercy. This praise and adoration for God draws me into a deeper love for Him. And when my life is surrounded by hardships, struggles, and sorrow, I am also beginning to learn to lean into God by crying out to Him for His mercy and His comfort. These desperate cries of pain, which are nothing but praise and adoration in disguise, also draw me closer to God and deepen my love for Him as well. And then there are so many others in CR that I do life with that brings genuine friendship, brotherly love, and tons of encouragement that I need. We laugh and we cry. We experience pain and healing. But most of all, we share in the love of Christ and our great salvation. In short, Celebrate Recovery has been a tool that God has given me to use to help me navigate through this journey of faith, which can be so difficult at times. It has helped me and many others to allow God to continue to renew us inwardly, day by day. It is in this inward renewal that my awareness of the love that Christ has for me continues to grow, allowing God's grace to change me from the inside out. This renewal continues to help me live a life worthy of the gospel and continues to help me to be a blessing to others. Monday nights at Celebrate Recovery are not just for me to be available for those who are hurting and broken, which it is, that is part of it, but it is another time throughout the week where I invite God into my brokenness and my weaknesses, becoming vulnerable before God and other people, and desiring positive change that can only come from God's divine power. The Bible has a term for what we call recovery. It's called sanctification. And they could have just as easily called that ministry Celebrate Sanctification, because that is what is going on. From the moment that we are born again, the Holy Spirit which dwells within us goes to work. Before you get dried off from the waters, it is going to work within you. It begins a lifelong process of making us holy, molding us into the very image of Jesus Christ. This process, however, is not a one-man show. This process is a partnership, or better yet, relationship. The sanctification process is still all about the supernatural work of God in our lives. But God, who is relational, invites us in on this process. Our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has invited us in to his latest work, the sanctification of the new creation that you have become through faith in Christ. He desires to build a masterpiece of righteousness in all of us, if only we accept his offer. And what is our part? What does God expect of us in this process? And over the years at Celebrate Recovery, there have been two main things that I see when people start to get changed by God. And I'll talk about these two. Number one, we should have a willingness or an openness to change. There must be a desire inside of us that is tired of our continual failures. There must be a desire for permanent change to take place deep inside of our hearts. Just recently, probably been about 6 months now, not even that, I got tired of speaking to my wife words that tore her down mentally, spiritually. I wouldn't speak them to you or people at work, but I'd speak them to my wife at home. And the reason that I did that is I had to be right all the time. And so I got tired of that. Yeah, I'm a know-it-all. I know more than y'all. I know more than her. So I got tired of that as well. I got tired of treating my wife as if she was the enemy. She is not. And where did this desire to change come from? Answered prayer. I personally pray quite frequently for God to show me what needs to be changed in my life and for him to give me the desire to change. I don't leave that up to me. My prayer is very similar to Psalm 51. It says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. Why do we need a willing spirit? To sustain me, it says. It is this willingness in us that God will then sustain us. Well, that sounds really good, Wister, but I'm doing just fine in my life. Everything is great. I don't have those kinds of problems. I'm not like the rest of the world. I'm not like those Christians who struggle. You ever heard anybody talk like this? You ever heard yourself talk like this? In Celebrate Recovery, we call this denial. And it is our first lesson for good reason. You cannot change when you are constantly comparing yourself to others. You will always see their faults greater than yours. And if they're not, you'll look and find another. You cannot change if you never face the hard truth that your life, when measured against the infallible Word of God, falls extremely short. But there is a solution to that problem. The great thing about God is that He always has a solution to our problems. When it comes to you and me and our relationship with Jesus Christ, God is not concerned with the rest of the world. He is concerned with you and me and the changes that He desires to make in you and me. So how will there be a willingness to change? The other thing that I was talking about. By stepping out of our denial that says that nothing is wrong and that we don't need to change. All of our lives need to be changed by the power of the gospel. But this requires a change of thinking, a renewal of the mind. The patterns of this world are at war against our souls. They infiltrate our minds and deceive us into believing that the way we are living is okay. But Paul says we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and approve what God's good and pleasing will is, His perfect will. And by doing so, we will not conform to the patterns of this world, of this sinful world. It is through the reading and studying of God's Word that a beautiful transformation begins. We begin to search for the beauty and fearsomeness of God. And our heart's desire is one that begins to love holiness and hate sin. Psalm 119, 104 and 5 echoes this very thought. It says, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the hard questions have to be asked. Are we renewing our mind? Are we reading His word? Filled with His truth that begins to transform our way of thinking? Or are we comfortable with the way we live? Are we okay with the things in our life that God is not okay with? These are questions we need to ask ourselves quite often, because it is through this renewing of our mind that sanctification takes place And we learn to live out what Paul later says will begin to happen when our minds are being renewed. He says that we will begin to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. So for sanctification to begin and continue in our life, we must have a willingness and an openness to change. And we must recognize our need for change, no matter how long we have been following Christ. We are all, at all times, in desperate need of Jesus Christ and the change that he offers. So if we step out of our denial, and we have an openness and a willingness, or even better, a readiness to have God change us, then where do we start? How do we begin this process of letting God have his way with our defects of character if we have not been doing this? First and foremost, you need to return to your first love. Jesus wrote to the church in Ephesus, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." For me personally, I couldn't stop talking about Jesus. I read his word day and night. I sought out his goodness every step I took. But over time, life happened. And there are far too many moments that my first love didn't seem so important anymore. But if you realize, like I have at certain times, that you haven't really allowed God to have his way with you, that you've been keeping him at bay, only allowing him in certain areas of your life, the solution is simply to repent. Repentance is a change of mind or a way of thinking that says, "God, I am ready for you to have your way with me. And that love that you had at first, what will that look like?" It'll be different for each one of us, I'm sure. But for me personally, it was that overwhelming sense of God's love and mercy and grace that I experienced when I surrendered my life to Christ. Remembering God's mercy always illuminates my need for him. It illuminates his love for me despite my shortcomings. And it gives me a desire to allow him to change me. But my sin wants to stay hidden. It wants to isolate and condemn me. It desires to overtake me. But God's mercy draws me back to him and his people. It brings my sin into the light where it does not desire to be. And over time, as I learn to submit these struggles to God and learn to rely on God's divine power to help me resist them, these sins and struggles have but one option left: to flee from me. Here are two scriptures that have been very powerful reminders and motivators to me to help draw me near to God and his sanctifying power. I have so many more than these, but these were two that I feel will be very beneficial to us all. But whatever your verses are, memorize them, or at least read them as often as you can. Find those verses that draw you near to God and the love that you first experienced in Christ. This first one is what I call my elevator testimony, or my 30-second testimony. And my wife struggles with thinking that her testimony can't help many people because she didn't follow sin as far as I and others did. She didn't become a homeless heroin addict criminal like I did. Didn't go down that same road that others have. And you may be thinking the same thing. If you surrendered your life to Christ early and avoided and escaped the pain and misery that a life in bondage to sin can produce. But hear these words from Paul. A man before he encountered Christ loved living out the law. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. It says, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Are you ready for your own personal testimony to share with whoever you meet? Paul says that here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul's testimony is all of our testimonies. In the honest awareness of our sinful past, that we are the worst of sinners, God can use us to reach the lost and the broken. And my second one is my newfound life verse from a couple years ago. From a Church of Christ up in Greenville during a hurricane. God spoke strongly to me through these words. It says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. You see, even though I have been born again of God's Spirit, I still live in a world that is filled with and attempts to conform me to foolish thinking. It points me towards disobedient actions. It tries to deceive me by redefining what truth is. And it is filled with all kinds of pleasures and passions, just waiting to enslave me once again. But it is these kinds of reminders that Scripture does for me that helps remind me of the person that I used to be and how I never want to go anywhere near the old Worcester ever again. Soaking in God's Word and being in community with people who desire godly change as well, helps me to remember my first love. It helps me remember God's mercy, which in turn gives me a desire to be molded into the image of Christ. So once we have turned back to God with this newfound desire to change, we begin to live and be changed by God's divine power. We do this by being engaged in God's Word and in relation with God's people. In the scripture that was read this morning, this divine power that God has made available to all Christians is acquired through our knowledge of Him who called us. When we dig into His Word with the sole purpose of knowing Christ and the love that He has for us, and when we put into practice the very basics of Christianity, it fills us with this divine power to live a life filled with godliness so that we may escape the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. It doesn't mean we will live a perfect life. Jesus did that for us. But it will mean that as this power begins to work in us, we will desire a life filled with God's goodness and holiness. Now, I know that I have probably rambled today. You can ask my wife about how I'm good at that. But there is a good chance that I didn't tie this all together to where it makes sense. I was still writing it last night. So I will try and give an analogy for you to help you understand the importance of what we do in Celebrate Recovery. In CR, we have 25 lessons that we teach each year. They are the very fundamentals of Christianity. Here are just a few of the things that we do over and over again, adding to our faith and in the process, strengthening our faith, so that grace and peace may overflow abundantly into our lives and into the lives of others that we come in contact with. We continually learn about how poor in spirit we are and how we are powerless to change this without Christ. We are then reminded again of the hope and sanity that can fill our lives when we turn or repent from our dysfunctions and put into action the things that God would have us do. And here are just a few of the things that God will require of us: to take an honest and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, of our thoughts and our actions and our words, confession of our sins to one another, making amends to others, offering forgiveness to those who have hurt us, extending grace, living in gratitude, receiving God's love, and giving it to others, and of course, serving one another. We practice these week in and week out, over and over again. Why do we do this, you may be asking? What is the purpose of doing the basics over and over again? And you may be saying to yourself, well, that's fine for some people, but I'm well beyond needing to work on those things. I've moved past the basics of Christianity. So herein lies my analogy. I hope it helps. People who are serious about playing a sport to the best of their abilities, professionals, college students, and even amateurs, got to the level they perform at today through countless days, weeks, months, and years of practice. They continue to do the same things over and over again, day in and day out. And it was in this constant practice of the very basics of their sport that has grown them into the top-notch athlete that they are today. Why do PGA professionals continue to putt thousands of three-footers a day, four-footers? Why do they continue to hit basic iron shots and wedges and drives, sand shots and simple little chips over and over again? Haven't they moved beyond the basics of golf? The answer for them and for our Christian walk is one and the same. They continue to practice the basics because in doing so, they are maturing and becoming a better golfer. They are becoming more effective and productive in their golf game. And Peter tells us as Christians, when we put the very basics of Christianity into practice day after day, it will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is through this knowledge of our Lord that His divine power allows us to maintain a life filled with grace and peace. Sounds good to me. My prayer is that God would continue to purify us all and fill us with an eagerness to do what is good. If there's a burden that you've been carrying all on your own, please come forward and let us fulfill the law of Christ. Let us share with you in carrying that burden. If we can pray for you, counsel you, or just extend the love of Christ, or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and begin to experience God's grace and peace in your life, come forward as we sing our last song.